Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Wood, our speaker will be Dr. Roger Vogel, pastor of Berean Bible Church in Dublin, Ohio. The title of his message is A Journey into a Storm. The text is from Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52.
We're very privileged to have in chapel today and tomorrow Dr. Roger Vogel from the Berean Bible Church in Dublin, Ohio. Dr. Vogel graduated from the University of Iowa in 1968 with a degree in forestry. But quickly after that, he and his wife Mary came here to campus and he pursued a master's degree. And later in 1991, he received the Doctor of Ministries degree from BJ. He's been pastoring the Berean Bible Church for 27 years now. He serves with us on the board of Gospel Fellowship Association. He has a heart for missions all over the world. But more than anything else, I see him as a man with a pastor's heart, a man who has stayed by the stuff for all these many years, preaching, praying, reaching people for Christ, and counseling with those that need help in the Lord. A man that is a great example to all of you and a man whom we respect very much for the sake of his ministry. You give him your utmost attention as he comes and preaches to us now. Dr. Vogel.
Thank you, Dr. Wood. Open your Bible with me this morning, please, to the book of Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark chapter 6 will be our text, verses 45 through 52. Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. You'll recognize this story. It's very familiar, but there are many things we need to learn from the Lord this morning from this passage. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking on the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And went up into them the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. I want you to notice with me this morning what our Lord Jesus does in this text. He sends his disciples off in that little fishing boat into the Sea of Galilee, right into the midst of a storm. He sees them in that storm. He leaves them there for at least 6 hours before he comes and joins them and calms that storm. I'd like to suggest to you today that this passage is a tremendous picture and parallel of our Lord's present day ministry to his people, to you and me. This passage illustrates what our Lord does for us today, day in and day out. And I believe we can learn some very valuable things about His present ministry if we look carefully at this passage. Now, the context of the passage is that Jesus has just fed a great multitude of people. You read the verses before this, and there were at least 10,000 people there that He fed with those loaves and fishes that day. And He then sends His disciples out in the boat. He sends the people away. And the scene is set for what we read about this morning. It's interesting. John's Gospel, the parallel, tells us that the Passover was nigh. I believe this was the Passover that came 1 year before His crucifixion. So that means that 2 years plus of public ministry have passed already. That means that this was really the high water mark as far as public popularity and public acclaim was concerned. when this multitude was ready to take the Lord Jesus Christ and forcefully make him a king, you could say he had reached, in public popularity, the high point of his ministry. And yet the Lord Jesus, of course, could not accept that. The next day, as a matter of fact, he's going to give the great discourse on the bread of life in John chapter 6. And he's going to explain to them what this is all about. And in verse 66 of John chapter 6, many of them are going to go back and follow him no more. And so truly, this was the peak of his popularity in that sense. John chapter 6 and verse 15 records for us that this multitude was going to try to make him a king. You know, Satan had tried to do that earlier. In Matthew chapter 4, where Satan was tempting Christ, one of his temptations was, just skip the cross and be a king. And of course, Lord Jesus couldn't accept that either. And what Satan could not do there by deception, he tries to do now by force and coercion of the mob. Let me just issue a warning to you young preacher boys. If you treat your people right and feed them on the Word of God and minister to them, there will come a day when they want to put you on a pedestal. That's the most dangerous place for you. Don't let them make you a king. The greatest tragedies in the ministry come because preachers become lords over their people instead of servants to the people of God. Be careful with this mentality. And so the Lord rejects that. And we see now some events unfolding that illustrate His ministry to us today. There are three things in the passage that I see this morning that illustrate what He does for you and me today. Number one, I want you to notice, in verses 45 through 48, He sends His disciples on a journey into a storm. And you say, were these disciples where they were supposed to be? I mean, aren't we supposed to have free sailing when we're God's children? These disciples were exactly in the center of God's will. Christ sent them out there. Matter of fact, verse 45, He constrained them to get in that boat. And He straightway, with a sense of urgency, sends them out across the Sea of Galilee. No doubt, at least part of His reason for sending His disciples out there was to get them away from this crowd with these carnal motives. So these disciples get in the boat, and they proceed out across the Sea of Galilee, a sea very familiar to most of them. John chapter 6 tells us it was even when this happened. That means it was between sunset and dark. So it was dusky. It was getting towards nighttime. And they start out in that little boat. And before long, they're in a tremendous storm. Not an unusual event on the Sea of Galilee. But did the Lord Jesus know that storm was coming? Absolutely He did. He sent them out there into that storm. The Lord Jesus sends us on a journey today. If you're a child of God, you are on a pilgrim journey directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're told in the Scriptures that He beseeches you as strangers and pilgrims. Now the rest of the story is that many times that journey takes you into a storm. Just like these disciples got in a storm. I don't know what storm you may be in today, but I know for sure that many of you sitting here this morning are in some kind of turmoil, some kind of problem, some kind of temptation, some kind of stress that you're under, some kind of persecution that you're facing, heartache. There are all kinds of storms represented here this morning. You say, am I in the will of God? Well, if you're following the Lord Jesus, you're in the will of God even though you're in a storm. These disciples couldn't make much headway. You read about it over in the Gospel of John. They were rowing and rowing and rowing, and they just weren't getting anywhere, basically. They were in a serious problem. You may be in a serious problem this morning. That doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus tells us in John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You say, well, if I can just get out of school, if I can just get through college, I know it's going to be better. I hate to disillusion you, but it doesn't get any easier. There are storms out there also. Contrary to what some preachers will tell you, if you're in the center of God's will, it doesn't mean you're going to avoid all conflict and difficulty and storminess. And so the Lord Jesus sends His disciples out on a journey into a storm. Are you willing to go on that journey, even though it means going into a storm? The second thing we see in our passage this morning is in verses 46 through 48, the Lord Jesus is praying up on the hillside, and He knows the plight of His disciples. He's praying on the hillside, and He knows what's going on with His disciples. Now look at this, verse 46. When He had sent them all away, He departed into a mountain to pray. Right, there He is, up there beside the Sea of Galilee on that hillside praying. The multitudes have all gone. The disciples are out in the boat. He knows He's at a crossroads in His ministry. He knows what the people are going to do tomorrow. He no doubt is praying for His disciples and praying for some of these people at least to have some kind of spiritual understanding of His message. And He intercedes. The Lord Jesus intercedes for you today. This is a picture, an illustration of His intercessory ministry for you today. There are all kinds of references in the New Testament about His intercessory ministry. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "He is ever alive, He ever liveth to make intercession for you." Aren't you glad you have a living Savior who can intercede on your behalf? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, we have that great high priest who's passed into the heavens. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 24, "He appears in heaven today in the presence of God for you." He intercedes on your behalf. You say, "I'm in a storm," all right? The Lord Jesus intercedes for you. But there's something else in this passage also. In verse 48, notice what it says very carefully now. This is very important. He saw them. He didn't just see them in general. He didn't just say, "Oh, my disciples are out in the boat there on the Sea of Galilee." He saw them, and notice the wording, toiling in rowing. Now, He's at least 3 miles from them, minimum. Maybe more than that. It's nighttime. How does He see them? Well, as only the Son of God can see someone in that situation. And He sees them literally in anguish, rowing that boat, trying to get where they were supposed to go. What a great picture of our Lord Jesus today, seeing us when we don't think anyone can see us, knowing our situation, knowing our anguish over what's happened or what's going on or the heartache that we're feeling or the difficulty we're facing, whatever it is, He sees us. And I know sometimes that is presented as a fearful doctrine. Oh, the Lord sees you no matter where you are. And it may be if you're doing wrong, but it's also a great comforting doctrine for those who are following the Lord Jesus Christ and are in a storm and aren't sure what's going to happen to them, to know that He sees. He sees exactly what's going on, and He's praying, He's interceding there for us in heaven. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 tells us. What a great comfort it is to know that our Lord sees us. And then the third thing we see in our passage this morning, and this one I want you to get a hold of. You don't get anything else this morning. Get a hold of this. He leaves His disciples in the storm for at least 6 hours before He comes and delivers them. And you say, how do you know it's been 6 hours? Well, we just need to look carefully at what the Scripture says. Mark chapter 6 and verse 47 says it was even, or evening, when they got in the boat. That's that time right before it gets dark. The sun's gone down. It's not quite dark yet. And we know in that country at this time of year, because remember the Passover was near, so it's springtime. It's March, April, someplace in there. And we know that that would happen sometime between 8 and 9 o'clock. Look at verse 48 with me. Mark chapter 6, it was now about the fourth watch of the night when He comes to them. When's the fourth watch of the night? That's from 3 to 6 in the morning. They got in the storm about dark, John chapter 6 tells us. The storm came up just about the time it got dark. The Lord Jesus saw them down there in the storm. He's up here on the mountain praying, and He leaves them there for 6 hours at least, maybe more, before He comes. You see, I can accept the fact that the Lord Jesus sends me on a journey into a storm, but I'm not sure I understand this business of Him leaving me here. Let me tell you something. This illustrates the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ knows exactly how long we need to stay in the storm to accomplish His purpose in our life. Do you believe He has a purpose for what He's doing? He had purposes for these disciples. And He left them there just exactly as long as He knew they needed to stay. I don't know exactly what all His purposes were with these disciples. He doesn't tell us in detail. But I think from the Scriptures we can understand, in general at least, some of the reasons He may have left His disciples in the storm all these hours, knowing what they were going through, knowing their anguish and rowing. You know, He was up there on that mountain. You ever ask yourself the question, could He have stopped the storm from up there? Well, of course He could have. He was in perfect fellowship with the Father in heaven. Could He have said a word to the Father and had Him stop this storm? Of course He could. But He didn't. And He didn't because He knew that these disciples needed this storm for this long for His purposes. And that illustrates exactly what our Lord does in our lives today. We always want delivered from the storm right away, don't we? I mean, that's human nature. We want to get out of this trouble just as quickly as we can. That's not always the Lord's way. I think He was teaching His disciples something about patience, possibly, from James chapter 1. I think He was teaching them some kind of dependence on Him. What I do know is in Matthew chapter 14, the other parallel account of this, when He came to the ship, we're told in verse 33 that they worshipped Him as the Son of God. Not as king anymore. They weren't thinking about a king. I think He used this to get this king business out of their minds. And they worshipped Him as the Son of God. So there were reasons. There were purposes why He left His disciples in a storm. What kind of problem are you facing today? What kind of storm are you in? Why is the Lord leaving you there? Maybe to teach you patience. Maybe to teach dependence on Him. Maybe to be like Job, who said in Job 23:10, He knows the way that I take, and when He has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I would suggest that all of you write 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 in the margin of your Bible beside Mark chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, because someday you're going to say, Lord, why are you leaving me here? Why isn't this going away? Why aren't you solving this problem? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, is the word there, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's why God leaves you there. That's why God left these disciples in that storm for these hours. And that's why possibly God hasn't removed the problem or the trial or the heartache that you're going through right now. He wants your faith to be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus does come to His disciples. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. You'll notice we actually have at least four miracles involved right here. They're not all named in Mark, but when you put all the Gospels together, you can see them. First of all, He comes walking on the water. Matthew chapter 14 tells us this is a time when Peter got out of the boat and walked a little ways on the water towards the Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 6, verse 51, the storm ceases immediately. And in John chapter 6 and verse 21, we're told that the boat was immediately at the shore where they wanted to go, at least a mile and a half away. So all those things happen just in a moment of time there. But notice what He says to His disciples in verse 50. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. His promise is that He'll be with us through the storm. Even though He leaves you in that trial and that difficulty and that heartache longer than you think He should, He is with you through that. Psalm 46 tells us God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar like they were here in Mark chapter 6, and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then He says, now stop and think about that a while. What's your trouble this morning? What's your heartache? What's your storm? You are probably in the center of God's will. I hope you are. Most of you, I'm sure, are in the center of God's will. And yet here you are in the midst of this turmoil, whatever it is going on in your life. The Lord is leaving you there for a reason, but He's going to come and deliver you from that storm in His perfect timing. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 says, fear thou not. That's what the Lord said here. Stop fearing. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You believe that? You believe God's going to be with you through all those trials that you're going through? These are precious words. The Lord Jesus says, be of good cheer. He says that six different times in the New Testament, and every time it's in the context of some previous condition of alarm. Be of good cheer. It is I. That's in the middle. He's the reason for both of the others. He's the reason that we can stop fearing and be of good cheer. even when the storm is blowing. Even when He's left us there longer than we think we should be there, He's in the center of it. So, the lessons from this passage this morning, illustrating Jesus' present ministry to you, His child. Number one, He sends you on a journey. But that journey is going to involve some storms. Secondly, He is interceding for you in heaven, and He sees and knows exactly what you're going through here on earth. And thirdly, and this is the one that may be a little hard to accept, but He sovereignly leaves you in the midst of that storm just exactly as long as He knows you need to be there to learn and to teach you and to do all those things that He wants to do in your life. And then He's going to come and deliver you, give you that peace in the midst of the storm. Will you trust Him that way today? Will you say, Lord Jesus, I don't know what all You're doing and I don't understand all that I'm going through, but I'm going to trust You to leave me here just as long as You know is best. That's the attitude He wants from us. And I trust that we'll have that kind of trusting attitude in our Lord today. Let's bow together in closing prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for this illustration of the ministry of our Lord Jesus for us today. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to believe that You know what is best for us and that You leave us in that storm just exactly the time that we need to be there. So Lord, help us to be looking for those lessons that we need to learn, those things that You want to do in our lives. And Lord, help our faith to be to the glory and honor and the praise of Jesus Christ at His coming, because we have endured the storms of trial and difficulty, and the Lord Jesus has seen us through. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in the lives of each of these here today. May they see their circumstances in a new light as we go from here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Roger Vogel, pastor of Berean Bible Church in Dublin, Ohio. If you'd like a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6.50 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.